content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance, Money.com, and also AARP.com. Our first article from Kiplinger's Personal Finance, The Cost of Rising Home Values. Property tax rates could increase in some jurisdictions to keep up with home price appreciation. Your home may be the most valuable asset you own, especially if it's worth considerably more than you paid for it years ago. But the rise in home values has led to an increase in the cost of owning a home, particularly where property taxes are concerned. And if you think your taxes are high now, it could get worse. An analysis of U.S. Census data by Today's Homeowner, a home improvement website and TV program, found that while the average property tax bill rose by nearly 20% between 2016 and 2021, the average effective tax rate fell by 0.15%. To understand what that means and its implications for your own tax bill, it's important to understand how property taxes are calculated. Your property tax bill is based on the assessed value of your property, multiplied by your local government's tax rate. Local governments use different formulas to determine the assessment rate, which can range from 50% to 100% of your home's market value. For example, suppose your home's market value is $250,000. Your county's assessment rate is 80%, and your tax rate is 0.70%. Based on an assessment of $200,000, you would owe $1,400 a year in property taxes. Why assessments are rising? Homeowners in areas that have experienced significant appreciation in home values should be prepared for the possibility that their local jurisdiction will raise rates to match higher assessments, even as home sales have leveled off. For local governments, inflation has driven up the cost of everything, from public employees' salaries to school supplies. In addition, in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, commercial property owners are struggling with a large number of vacancies, which has led to a decline in revenue from those sources. When commercial properties are vacant, the value of the buildings decline, which lowers the municipality's tax base, writes Robert Barber, Chief Executive Officer for property data provider Atom, in an email to Kiplinger. Vacancies or empty properties lower the base upon which taxes are levied, which can lead to higher tax rates and higher taxes for every property owner. At the same time, though, local governments face pressure from homeowners and commercial property owners to keep property taxes in check, Barber says. High taxes could cause some homeowners and commercial landlords to move, as well as dissuade prospective home buyers, resulting in lower home prices and depressed property values. With that in mind, lawmakers in several states are considering measures to curb property taxes. In Texas, Republican lawmakers have proposed lowering the appraisal cap on how much a home's taxable value can rise each year to 5% from the current 10%. In Colorado, where average property taxes have risen more than 40% in the past 5 years, lawmakers have pledged $700 million in property tax relief in 2023 and 2024, and Governor Jared Polis wants to increase that amount by another $200 million. Lawmakers in Wisconsin and Nebraska are also considering property tax relief measures. How to appeal your tax bill. There's not much you can do about property tax rates, but if you believe your assessment is out of line, you have the right to appeal. Local governments commonly send assessment notices to homeowners in the first few months of the year. As soon as you get yours, check the deadline for challenging the value. Most jurisdictions give you 90 days after you receive a new assessment to appeal, but some close the window in 30 days. Once you've received your assessment, check your property's record card, which is the official description of your house. You may be able to find it on your locality's website, although in some jurisdictions you may have to go to the assessor's office to review property cards or request to receive the information by email or fax. If you find an outright error, it lists four bedrooms for your two-bedroom Cape Cod, for example, the assessor may fix the problem on the spot, reducing the assessed value and your tax bill. If the description of your property is accurate, pull up property cards of several nearby homes that are of similar age and square footage and have the same number of bedrooms and bathrooms to see how their assessments line up with yours. Search in your area for recent sale prices of homes similar to yours on a website such as Zillow.com or Realtor.com. Sales that occurred in the past few months may have taken place after your assessor's property evaluation. If you find that your assessed value is considerably higher than several similar homes in that sales price of nearby homes, they may suggest that the property value is lower than estimated, you may have grounds for an appeal. Even if your assessment falls in the middle of the pack, you may have grounds for appeal if your house has a leaky basement or other problems that could turn off prospective buyers. Get all the breaks you deserve. Finally, even if you don't have grounds for appeal, you may be eligible for a tax break or rebate that could lower your tax bill. Contact your state's Department of Taxation or visit its website to see what breaks are available to you. You may be eligible for credits based on your income or status as a senior citizen, veteran, or disabled person. In Florida, for example, all homeowners are eligible for a homestead exemption of up to $50,000. Those age 65 and older who meet certain income limits can claim an additional $50,000. Our next article, also from Kiplinger's Personal Finance, The Problem with Credit Bureaus. If you've ever had difficulty getting incorrect information removed from your credit report, you've got plenty of company. A recent report from USPIRG Education Fund, a consumer advocacy group, found that complaints filed with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau about credit report companies nearly doubled between 2021 and 2022. In fact, complaints about problems with credit bureaus totaled 69% of all consumer grievances in the CFPB's Consumer Complaint Database, USPIRG found. The Consumer Data Industry Association, a trade group that represents the credit bureaus, attributes the rise in complaints to the rise in credit repair companies that falsely claim they can remove negative but accurate information from credit reports. However, in a report released earlier this year, the CFPB said that while consumers continue to report problems with errors on their credit reports, there was a significant increase in resolved complaints in 2022. That suggests many of those disputes were legitimate, says Mike Litt, consumer campaign director for USPIRG. Be proactive. The consequences of negative information on your credit report can be far-reaching. You could end up paying higher interest for a mortgage or a car loan. You could also have difficulty renting an apartment, or in some cases, even getting a job. Your best defense against inaccurate information on your credit reports is to be proactive. Reviewing your credit reports regularly will enable you to catch errors early. Through 2023, you can review your credit reports from the three major credit bureaus once a week for free by going to annualcreditreport.com. Make sure you go through this website. Other websites that may show up in an online search use the promise of free credit reports to charge you for services, or worse, steal your personal information. If you find an error on one of your reports, file a dispute with the credit reporting company. The CFPB provides instructions and a template letter you can use at consumerfinance.gov. You can mail this letter or use the credit bureau's online form. Explain why you believe the information is incorrect and provide supporting documents if you have them. Once a credit bureau receives your dispute, it's required to conduct an investigation and contact the lender. After the lender responds, the credit bureau is required to tell you the results of its investigation. If the lender corrects the error, that should resolve the dispute. If you're unable to get a satisfactory response from a credit bureau, file a complaint with the CFPB at consumerfinance.gov/complaint. We've seen people get relief when they complain to the CFPB when they're unable to get a resolution on their own, Litt says. And, let's see, this article also is from Kiplinger Personal Finance. It's entitled, Coming Soon, Cancel Subscriptions with Just a Click. Some industries are notorious for making canceling subscriptions onerous. Think cable, TV, internet service, and gym memberships. Now, the Federal Trade Commission has proposed a click-to-cancel provision that would make it much easier to cancel a subscription or service. The proposal would amend the current negative option rule, which companies use to notify customers about a product, send it, and then charge for it unless the customer declines. Each year, the FTC receives thousands of consumer complaints about practices such as billing consumers without their consent or making cancellation difficult, such as by requiring customers to cancel in person or keeping them stuck on hold waiting to talk to customer service. The proposal would save consumers time and money, and businesses that continued to use subscription tricks and traps would be subject to stiff penalties, says FTC Chair Lena M. Kahn. Among the proposed rule changes, businesses would be required to make it at least as easy to cancel a subscription as it was to start it. Also, sellers could pitch additional offers or modifications when a consumer tries to cancel. But if the answer is no, sellers must immediately implement the cancellation process. The proposal would also require sellers to provide an annual reminder to consumers enrolled in negative option programs involving anything other than physical goods before they are automatically renewed. The FTC will consider public comments before the rule is adopted. In this article from Money.com, the S&P 500 is up nearly 10% in 2023. After a dismal 2022, investors are finally breathing a sigh of relief. The stock market is up nearly 10% so far this year, and new research indicates more gains could be on the way. A recent released analysis by Jeffrey Buschbinder, chief equity strategist for LPL Financial, finds that when stocks perform well during the first 100 trading days of a year, even bigger gains tend to follow in the remaining days. Buschbinder points to data showing that since 1950, in years when the S&P 500 gained at least 7% during the first 100 trading days, the index then went on to gain an average of 9.4% during the rest of the year. This seems to qualify. The S&P 500 was up 8.1% when that initial 100-day period ended last week. So the outlook is good for the next 7 months. Strong starts tend to be followed by solid finishes, Buschbinder wrote, adding, "The consistency of this pattern over 7 decades suggests it is likely to hold up again. Of the 26 years where the index gained at least 7% over the first 100 trading days, the market only lost ground in the second part of the year on 3 occasions. Given the persistent economic headwinds the market is facing, including a potential recession, Buschbinder acknowledged that a return of 9.4% for the rest of the year may be a little optimistic. He targets gains of about 5% for the remainder of 2023. Of course, he also emphasized that there's never a guarantee of anything when it comes to the stock market. Financial advisors say the best way to take advantage of patterns like this one is to invest consistently over a long period of time. That way, you're well positioned to take advantage of gains, like Buschbinder described, without feeling the temptation to time the market. Also from Money.com, keeping money in Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal is risky. If you have money just sitting in your Venmo or Cash App account, it's a good idea to move it. That's according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is issuing a warning to Americans that funds held in payment apps aren't nearly as secure as those stored in federally backed bank accounts. Popular digital payment apps are increasingly used as substitutes for a traditional bank or credit union account, but lack the same protections to ensure that funds are safe, CFPB Director Rohit Chopra, a money changer, said in a Thursday news release. Apps like Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal, while often quick and convenient to use, are not actually banks. As such, the money they hold often lacks the insurance that protects deposits at traditional financial institutions. Right now, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, insurance covers up to $250,000 per depositor, per account type, per bank. If the bank were to fail, like Silicon Valley Bank did earlier this year, the agency would cover your losses up to that limit. Most banks in the U.S. are covered by FDIC insurance, and it's easy to check whether yours is among them. The same isn't always true of digital payment apps like Venmo and Cash App, or stock market assets, or crypto for that matter. If one of those companies went under, there's no guarantee that your funds will be returned to you. You might lose your money. Why storing money in payment apps is risky? The CFPB says that the risk of lost funds is only growing as more and more Americans, and especially younger people, use digital payment services. In fact, research by the agency shows that about 85% of consumers between the ages of 18 and 29 have tried one. While some only use the apps for sending money here and there, others have begun to carry significant balances within the app. People are storing billions of dollars through these services outside of their federally insured bank or credit union accounts, the CFPB wrote in a recent blog post. CFPB data shows that roughly $893 billion passed through digital payment apps last year. That number is expected to balloon to $1.6 trillion by 2027. Some of these apps, including Venmo, actually invest stored monies into bonds or loans, allowing them to earn a profit on the cash that they don't share with their users, the agency says. Those kinds of investments are not subject to the same oversight that banks have, which means the risk to consumer funds is bigger. Speaking of profiting off your cash, you may actually be putting yourself at a disadvantage by saving large amounts of money in Cash App or Venmo. Not only do you not have deposit insurance on that balance, you're also not earning the interest you might if you choose to put those funds in a high-yield savings account. And finally, the CFPB points out that some of these services, user agreements, are vague about what happens to users' money. It can be difficult to determine whether these balances are insured and what safeguards are in place if the company should fail. The agency says it is monitoring the regulatory landscape surrounding payment apps, but right now there's no comprehensive policy that covers what protection they must offer to consumers. Until then, the CFPB says you may need to take action to move your balances stored in payment apps. Our next article from AARP.com, the best things to buy in June. June marks the official start of the summer season, but retailers are hoping that consumers will cool off with some shopping between their barbecues and beach visits this month. To get their attention, stores mark down prices on a wide variety of items, with many department and chain stores hosting semi-annual sales this month. Lots of retailers focus on June for their semi-annual sales because in-store traffic can be spotty during that month, says Brad Godwin, head of retail partnership at Shopkick. Retailers do a lot of marketing during the month to try to increase traffic during that time. June also sometimes benefits from spillover deals from the Memorial Day and July 4th, the big shopping holidays that bookend the month. Towards the end of the month, you might see summer-themed items with additional price drops as retailers start thinking about how to move inventory before back-to-school shopping starts. That means you may find deals on smaller summer supplies like sunblock or beach toys ahead of the 4th of July weekend, says Lisa Thompson with the savings app Shop Minimum. But Thompson says to hold off until the end of the month for larger discounts on bigger summer goods like barbecues and patio furniture. One extra date to keep in mind is June 2nd. Of course, that date during the time of this broadcast is already past us, but June 2nd was National Donut Day. Dunkin', Duck Donuts, and Krispy Kreme have historically, on June 2nd, distributed free treats in celebration of that day. Here's a look at five additional categories where you shoppers might find better than usual pricing this month. Lingerie. Category leader Victoria's Secrets hosts its semi-annual sale this month, marking down items for much of the month. To capitalize on increased interest this month, other retailers often also discount undergarments, sleepwear, and bathing suits. Where to find the deals? Victoria's Secret and Frederick's of Hollywood. Potential savings up to 60% off. Workout clothing and gear. It's been 6 months since many consumers made their New Year's resolutions to get back in shape, but as bathing suit season arrives, that resolve often resurges. Retailers are happy to help, offering discounts on outdoor-focused workout clothes like running or biking attire, as well as smaller ticket gear such as hand weights, resistance bands, and yoga mats. You typically won't, however, see sales on big ticket workout equipment like stationary bikes or treadmills. There are semi-annual sales in this category in June as well, with retailers like Under Armour hosting such promotions in the past. Where to find those deals? Nike, Reebok, and Target, with potential savings of 20 to 30% off. PC games. The biggest discounts on computer games will be on titles that have been out for a while, but newer games see smaller price cuts, says Julie Ramhold, a consumer analyst with Deal News, a comparison shopping website. The summer sales tend to yield historically low prices on a variety of PC game titles, Ramhold says. If you're shopping for games for your computer, June is definitely a good time to do it. And where to find those deals? Steam, GOG.com, and Epic Games, with savings up to 80% off. Bath products. Both Bath & Body Works and the Body Shop host high-profile sales this month, although the Body Shop doesn't call its promotion a semi-annual sale. Nomenclature aside, this is a great time to stock up on lotions, bath gels, hand soaps, candles, and other such items. Keep an eye out for limited edition or discounted scents that retailers trot out during their big sales. Where to find those deals? Bath & Body Works, The Body Shop, and other local stores with potential savings of 50% or more. And let's not forget those fathers. Father's Day's gifts. The holiday for family patriarchs falls on June 18th this year, and you can expect deals on all the traditional Father's Day gifts like tools, grilling accessories, and men's clothing. If you can wait until after the holiday itself, retailers may mark the prices up on such items, even then lower them after they haven't sold after the holiday. Online retailers like Amazon may offer other curated gift lists with products for dads, with additional discounts on those goods highlighted on the list. One caveat, hold off on purchasing Amazon-branded tech like smart speakers or e-readers, since those may see better discounts if Amazon hosts its annual Prime Day next month. We're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thanks for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.